Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
This is a short talk, and in it I'm going to repeat some of the things that I've said many times before, but I don't think they lose their value by being repeated. Dogen wrote, "Flowers, while loved, fall, and weeds, while hated, flourish." So this can be our life. We can cling to flowers and push away weeds. And that's the mind that has preferences. One is better than the other. So it's a mind that, if you observe it, if you observe your mind, it's constantly picking and choosing, holding on to one thing and letting go of the other. For most of us, our universe is filled with internal dialogue, analysis, evaluation, and preference. And our minds are constantly creating stories about who we are and what the world around us is. And those stories become our reality, for they are what we think the world is and who we think that we are. And this process of preferences creates a world that we see as dual, that we see as this, and we see as that. And so in this way, by doing this, we kill reality, or at least we make it inaccessible. We live out our ideas, our stories, in the comfort and certainty that these stories seem to provide, right? We cling to this, these ideas, these thoughts, because we believe that they make us comfortable. When the ideas, though, don't provide comfort, we suffer. And we hold on to our beloved flowers and push the weeds away. And that process creates suffering. So this impermanence challenges the way our mind prefers to live in the world. When things don't go according to what we want, it's very upsetting. There is an alternative. And the alternative is we can meet the unpleasant, the neutral, and the pleasant with acceptance. And acceptance means the ability to receive life in this particular way. If we receive life in this particular way with acceptance, the term we use for that ability is called equanimity. And equanimity occurs when we surrender our stories and our ideas and greet life as it is. Now, my point of view on this is that surrender is the heart of spiritual practice. You know, we talk a lot in Zen about paying attention, attention, attention. But it's very difficult to pay attention if we don't surrender. We don't surrender all these things that I'm talking about. Because surrender is the heart of equanimity. This is when the mind and the body are at rest. And again, we usually think of this in terms of our mind, stilling the mind and putting our mind, or allowing our mind to be at rest. And the body, from the neck down, gets left out. But the body is also important. It's also important that we do the work of allowing our body to be still also. It's hard to have a still mind when the body is disturbed. And it's hard to have a still body when the mind is disturbed. They work back and forth with each other. So it's when the body and mind are at rest that in this state we accept that not all things are as we wish them to be, as the mind wishes they were. And so when this happens in Zen, we call our experience of the world justice. Justice. No desire to change what is, justice. And this ability to do this allows us the ability to see with understanding and compassion. There's a teacher in the San Francisco Zen Center called Gil Fronsdale, and he describes equanimity as, quote, "remaining centered while in the middle of the swirling of life, keeping our balance in the middle of whatever is happening. It is keeping our balance in the midst of all this so that we are less thrown about by our preferences and emotions." Another quote by Pema Chodron, who says, "Things don't really get solved. They come together and then they fall apart. They come together again and fall apart again. It's just like that. Healing and compassion come from letting there be room for all of this to happen. Room for grief, for relief, for misery, for joy. Now that line to me is very important. Room for grief, for relief, for misery, or for joy. This idea of equanimity isn't suppression. It's not becoming hard to protect ourselves from these experiences, right? It's human. It's to be fully human, to allow ourselves to grieve, to allow ourselves to receive the misery that exists in the world. Now, again, accepting that there is suffering doesn't stop there in terms of our practice. That's only the first step, the acceptance, the surrender to the fact that there is this suffering. But that surrender allows us to have a clear mind, or as Bernie would say, a mind that doesn't know. We're wide open. And with a clear mind, we see all of the possibilities that are available to us, all of the ingredients that we have to work with. So we don't just stop, or we don't just cut off the world because it feels terrible or because there's pain. And we don't get attached to joy, just pain. And we don't get stuck in the idea that we prefer joy and we push away misery. We receive the whole Mishigas and we work with that. So, for example, what Jeff mentioned about what happened in El Paso, it's very hard to imagine that we could maintain equanimity under such circumstances. So it's perfectly human to feel anger and rage at this succession of shootings. That's normal. But if we get attached to that rage, we lose our equanimity. We don't see clearly. We see through eyes that are angry. If we fall into grief about this succession of losses, one after another, if we get stuck in our grief, then we lose our equanimity and we don't see clearly. And when I mean we don't see clearly, what is our responsibility? What can we do under these circumstances? But we see just this. We see it just as it is. And with that clarity, that equanimity, we're in a much better place to do something about it or nothing about it, depending upon the ingredients of our life. And this clarity also relates to ourselves. If we have equanimity, we are able to look inside into ourselves and greet whatever is there without pushing it away. And when you have that self-clarity, again, we can work with those ingredients to the maximum, taking advantage of this equanimity. So briefly, the way that we work to attain this equanimity, and by the way, it's not a light switch. We don't start out being disturbed and unsettled and hard to maintain an equanimity, and then all of a sudden, boom, now we have equanimity. The attainment or the realization of equanimity takes place over time, little by little. Right? If we sit, we do our Zazen practice, we come to the Zendo, we go on retreats, slowly the result of that process is that our body and our minds become more still. And in that stillness, we begin to see things more clearly. So when the things that are going on in the world, on all different levels and all different places, the first responsibility that we have is to maintain our own equanimity as best we can, wherever we are in the unfolding of our own equanimity. So that's really the first thing that we offer each other, is to be vulnerable, is to let go of all our ideas, all our concepts of who we think some other person is. And if we can do that, and we can maintain that sort of equanimity, we can really see someone else. And again, that process arises from our practice of Zazen. So Zazen is one of the ways that we can contribute to healing the world, to dealing with these kind of things when they happen as best we can. So that's this morning's sermon. Thank you.